bastard star. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Finding God in Prison. My name is Joe Montone, your host. We're here at Holy Spirit Radio at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. It is a great week, my friends. It is our Radiothon 2021. And before we begin our show, I want to thank all our listening audience for the donations and contributions you have made to our station. And we depend on you. So anything you can do to help us out would be greatly appreciated. And if you haven't made a donation yet, my friends, please call 215-345-1570. Again, 215-345-1570, and make your pledge today and do it from the heart. Okay, so we are here at Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison, and we're going to get right into our program. You know, we've been teaching a lot on the radio here today, and we have a platform to touch the hearts and minds of a lot of our men and women who are incarcerated or who have been released and are on probation or parole. And our goal really is to help them to build a great and promising future. And it's a journey as they rebuild from scratch. Truly, after incarceration, you know, men and women who are, basically coming out for the first time after so many months or so many years need support. They need a residence. They need a job. They need some money to get started. They need to have a plan for their education, which will lead them to good work. And sometimes that'll happen in the trades or in a college. But they need support. And so sometimes it comes from family, sometimes from friends, sometimes from the state. But it's all important. And having a good support group is essential for success in reentry after incarceration or after recovery from substance abuse or alcoholism. These are important times, my friends, for people who are in transition and helping to rebuild their lives is what we do in the WINGS program. And again, the WINGS program has had thousands of men and women come through it, and our goal is to help each and every one of them to rebuild their lives, and to re-engage in family life, business, and community service, to obtain a great faith so that God will be there for them, and that they will have a truly new outlook on life, one with hope and great vision into the future. So as we look at the WINGS program itself, I want to ask the question out there, if you've been listening to our program, Finding God in Prison, what did you do last week with your 168 hours, the total time available within a week? What did you do in that week? Was it productive? Was it positive? Did you make any changes that helped you to move forward? Or are you stagnating? Remember, WING stands for Winning Ideas, Nurturing Growth, and Success. So we want to be growing and not stagnating or regressing. And the 168, again, is the total number of hours in a week. And we want to make all of those hours count. Making it count is what we want to do. We don't want to miss not even 1 hour. We don't want to waste time. We want to look at the time as the most valuable asset. Alexander the Great, the king of Macedonia in 300 BC, said this. On his deathbed, Alexander summoned his generals and told them his three ultimate wishes. He says, number one, when I die, I want the best doctors to carry my coffin. Number two, All of the wealth that I have accumulated, my money, gold, precious stones, and jewels, should be scattered along the procession to the cemetery. And number three, I want my hands outside the coffin to be swinging in the wind for everybody to see. One of his generals said, "Alexander, these are three very unusual requests. Can you explain?" He said, "Number one, I want the best doctors to carry my coffin to demonstrate that in the face of death, even the best doctors in the world have no power to heal you. Number two, I want the road to be covered with my treasures, jewels, money, precious stones, so that everybody sees the material wealth acquired here on earth stays on earth. And we have basically no ability to take it with us. And number three, I want my arms swinging outside the coffin for everybody to see, to remind everyone that we come into the world empty-handed, we leave the world empty-handed, and the most valuable gift that we ever had was the gift of time, which is so precious. And that is now exhausted. So make the most of your time so that you can live, love, and die in peace. Alexander the Great." So hence, my friends, time is your most valuable asset. And we're at a time, there are things that we will never do again here on earth. There are people we will never see, activities we will never take part in, thank yous that we will never be able to say, apologies we will never be able to make, forgiveness that we will never be able to offer. And so time is of the essence. I want to create a sense of urgency within you and I today, my friends, because time is precious. And very often people waste time watching excess television, getting up late. Laziness contributes to a lack of productivity. In the Wings program, once again, we're looking at the week, the core of the Wings program, the 168 hours of total time available, as being opportunity to go forward and to achieve great things for the Lord's greater glory. And within that 168, we have time to sleep, to eat, to groom, time for education, time for family, community service, hobbies and sports, time for work. It's all important. And we want to engage in each one of those so we have a full and beautiful life, a fun and enjoyable attitude as we approach each day. And it's important. And within the 168, we want to keep those priorities straight. We want to maintain balance, as we talk about in the Wings program. And we want to work that action plan for the future with short-term and long-term goals. And as we attain each one of those goals, we want to basically start a new goal and keep moving forward. And we never stop in life. We want to keep going forward, setting short-term and long-term goals that will help us to be motivated to do special things for ourselves and for our family, special things, unique things for God, okay? And this is important. And just a reminder that the priorities in life that we talk about often are God first. Not last, but God first. Not making him an obligation, but making him something very, very important, critical to our day. Okay, we hear a lot about obligations that we have as Christians and Catholics. We don't want God to be an obligation. We hear about holy days of obligation. And Sunday Mass is actually a primary holy day of obligation. And we see a lack of attendance by, you know, great percentages of Catholics, Christians in America, not attending church, not attending Mass, not giving time for God. we don't want to make him an obligation. We want to make it an opportunity to take advantage of, because here we are blessed with churches everywhere. But in some countries, my friends, you will have to walk a half a day to get to church, or hours, and there where there are no roads possibly. And people, you know, are so happy to go and to get there and to be part of that liturgy and to hear the words of that priest, that tremendous opportunity to hear the word of God coming from the mouth of the pastor, the priest, the deacon. This is so important. But again, we want to look at this plan for the future, the action plan for the future, as being critical to our success in reentry after incarceration, or while we're in recovery from substance abuse or alcoholism. Remember, there's an 83% failure rate for people in recovery from alcoholism and substance abuse. We want to be in that 17% of the people who are succeeding in recovery. People who are changing their lives, moving forward one day at a time, one week at a time, one year at a time, never to regress. Just recently, I had a conversation with a gentleman who told me he was clean and sober for 14 years. And that's a long time. I said, I commend you for your success in recovery from alcoholism. You know, professional carpenter, a family man, a husband and father of two, a grandfather. But alcoholism was his challenge, and he overcame it and is now clean and sober 14 years. And there are people, you know, that I met recently, nearby neighbors who also struggled for years with alcoholism and drug addiction and have come through it and are succeeding in family life now. The beautiful blessings of having a faith-based program, a higher power, if you will. And that power for us is Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven. And through the Holy Spirit, we win in recovery from alcoholism and substance abuse. We win because we identify the Lord as the source of strength, the source of power to endure in a recovery program for 1 year, 2 years. It takes time. It takes work. And with an 83% failure rate, my friends, because people don't put in 100%, they put in 25%, 10%, 50%. They don't give it their all. The Lord is calling us to give it our all if we are challenged with addiction to substance abuse, alcoholism. Whatever the addiction is, whether it be drugs, alcohol, gambling, sex, God's calling us to give it our all. And to not give just a half-hearted attempt, but to give everything we have. Just like the Lord gave everything. Every drop of blood, so that we would have a chance at eternity with our Father in heaven. A chance to be part of the Father's plan for salvation. But we have to give more and not less. We have to open our hearts, and we have to stay healthy physically for the body, mentally for the mind, spiritually for the soul. All three are important. We have to give it our all to stay in good health, mentally, physically, spiritually, mind, body, and soul. And that's what the 168 is all about. Using the total time available in a positive way. And not wasting time, but going strictly positive in the 168. And maintaining balance, keeping our priorities straight. There are guys in the Wings program I know who are out playing ball and not working and should be working to provide for their children who they don't provide for. I know there are guys out there who are not productive because they're staying up late, maybe through half the night, and then waking up late, maybe at noon, and half the day is gone. In the Wings program, we encourage our men, our women, to work 40 to 55 hours a week and to be productive, to pay their taxes, to work on the books, to develop their stability, their credibility with people, including the banks, as well as their families, to re-engage with those family members and to get that credibility back and to get those opportunities with a bank to buy a home, to get a home loan. You can't do it unless you're working. To get a car loan, impossible to do unless you're working. How are you going to pay the loan back? It's essential to go to work and establish credibility with an employer. And you've got to have that 1 to 2 years, 3 years, and many years beyond to get the credibility to get a home loan, to buy a home and pay it off. Your credibility is like gold, which is powerful once you pay those kinds of things off, because you've proven yourself trustworthy financially. And financial stability is key. And we can all get into situations from time to time financially, but we have to clear those things up. We have to work at it. And again, to become stable, credible, and also role models to teach our children to do the same. And this is important, my friends. And I just tell you that this week is a new week. And when I ask you, what did you do last week with the 168, the total time available? You make a list and look at that list. Be objective. Did I use the time well or did I waste time? Did I use it well or am I wasting time? Be objective. Get engaged in sports, community service, family time. Make a phone call. Make a letter. Send the letter. Pay a visit to someone you love. Go see a grandmother, a grandfather, someone in a nursing home. Take someone's garbage out. Pull their garbage pails in. Do whatever you can to help your brother and sister in Christ. God says, whatever you do for the least of your brothers, you've done it for me. No more can we have this I and me mentality. We need an us and we mentality throughout America, my friends. It's not working. The division between people is very great. We need to communicate and participate in community events. We need to care for one another. Just recently, we celebrated the memorial of 9/11, which is an incredible day, my friends, where almost 3,000 people were killed when 19 terrorists came into our nation on student visas many years before and were lost in our system, coming in on student visas to get educated, but then were lost, were trained at our flight schools, both large and small, trained to fly airplanes. They didn't care how to land the plane or to take off. It was more about how to operate the machine. And as an aviator for many years, I know that some of these people were trained at large flight schools who didn't do background checks. They didn't care about that. They cared about the money. The money that was being put on the table to pay for the flight lessons. Hence, we had 9/11 pulled off. And don't forget, 8 years before, we had the bombing of the World Trade Center at the base, the truck bombing. The first attempt to take down the World Trade Center took place in 93. And it was, you know, a tremendous tragedy where there was a lot of damage and people were hurt and killed. But I just tell you, you know, in 2001, September 11th, I was coming out of a church, and a woman said to me, she said, hey, Joe, you know, I heard on the news that an airplane hit the World Trade Center. And I said, you're kidding. I said, it must be a Cessna 172 or something like that. He says, no, I think it was a large airplane, a big plane. And sure enough, when I went home and saw it on the news, I couldn't believe it. For the first time, seeing airplanes used as missiles, you know, similar to, you know, the kamikaze pilots who crashed into our ships and other places and gave their lives to that mission. These airplanes during 9/11 were used as missiles. And I'll just tell you, as a result of 9/11, you know, close to 3,000 people were killed, and we reflect on this every day. And once again, time is of the essence. For those close to 3,000 and their families, no longer will they get to celebrate the holidays and birthdays and anniversaries. No longer will they have communication to say, I love you. Please forgive me. Thank you. I appreciate you. Those days are gone. And we never know when something else is coming down the pike. I remember working for Pan Am in the 80s and 90s. And when we had the bombing of Pan Am 103, where a suitcase containing a bomb was put into an overhead bin in a 747 and it crashed over Lockerbie, Scotland, after blowing up in the air and over 270 people were killed. It's a powerful day, and that goes back many years before 9/11 and before the truck bombing. And I just tell you that once again, my friends, the 168 is so critical that we use that time well to love one another, to put into practice what God tells us to do and not to do. And that's part of the WINGS program, getting our people lined up. And that extends to everybody, people who are out there and who are living a good life, but are neglecting the Word of God, His commandments, putting God at the bottom of the list, making Him an obligation. We don't want God to be an obligation, last on the list. 1 hour of the 168, that's less than 1%. We want to give more time to God, more quality time for God. And this is important. And I'll just tell you, you know, this year, 2021, is 40 years since my stepfather, Dominic Montone, passed away. 40 years is a long time. And I was 21 when that occurred. And I just tell you that no longer do we have opportunity to have dinner together, to go pick up a Christmas tree, to go to policemen's picnics as we did in Staten Island, New York, as a kid growing up. No longer can we go to NBA games like we did, or the NFL games and seeing the New York Knicks or the New York Jets play. Growing up in New York, that was a great treat, and my dad did that. But I just tell you that, you know, for you, my friends, if you have children, spending quality time with your children, going to church every Sunday, going to ball games, saying a blessing at the family meal, these are all important things to do. Because you never know when life will end for any of us. We never know this. And, you know, for some people, tomorrow may not come. And I want to share with you, my friends, a short poem. It's called If Tomorrow Never Comes, and here it is. If I knew it would be the last time that I'd see you fall asleep, I would tuck you in tighter and pray the Lord your soul to keep. If I knew it would be the last time that I'd see you walk out the door, I would give you a hug and kiss and call you back for one more. If I knew it would be the last time I'd hear your voice lifted up in praise, I would videotape each action and word so I can play them back day after day. If I knew that it would be the last time I could spare an extra minute or two to stop and say I love you, instead of assuming that you know that I do. If I knew that it would be the last time I would be there to share your day, well, I'm sure you'll have so many more, so I can let just this one slip away. For surely there's always tomorrow to make up for an oversight, and we always get a chance to make everything right. There will always be another day to say, I love you, and certainly there's another chance to say, is there anything I can do? But just in case I might be wrong and today is all I get, I'd like to say how much I love you and hope we never forget. Tomorrow is not promised to anyone, young or old alike, and today may be the last chance you get to hold your loved one tight. So if you're waiting for tomorrow, why not do it today? For if tomorrow never comes, you'll surely regret the day that you didn't take the extra time for a smile, a hug, or a kiss, and you were too busy to grant someone what turned out to be their one last wish. So always hold them dear. Take time to say, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, or it's okay. And if tomorrow never comes, you'll have no regrets about today. A great poem titled, If Tomorrow Never Comes, my friends. So once again, we want to, you know, reflect on the value of precious time, as said by Alexander the Great. We want to reflect on 9/11 and what changes have come as a result of 9/11 for people and their families, for our nation, for the world. We're all impacted by such a tough day. And for our men and women who are in recovery after alcoholism, substance abuse, and incarceration, again, we want to use that time in the best way that we can. We want to make sure that we are setting ourselves up for success in reentry, success in recovery, success in our faith journey with God, success in family life as a husband, a father, a grandfather, a grandmother, a wife, a son or daughter, a brother or sister. We want to be the best human being that we can be. And the Lord says it best when he says, the steps of a good man is an order from the Lord Jesus Christ. And make no mistake, my friends, that we are listening to what God says to do on this show, on this station. That may not be the case on other stations, both radio and television. It may not be the case in schools where God is ignored and not talked about. It may not be the case in political life where people have an aversion to God's laws and want to do their own thing and make their own laws. But here and in our house, we will serve the Lord and we pay attention to detail about what God says to do and not to do. It's critical. So my friends, we're coming up to the end of our program, but I want to thank you for tuning in with us today here at Finding God in Prison. It is a special gift to be here on Holy Spirit Radio. And once again, this is the Radiothon 2021 this week for our station. I want to congratulate Dale and Jane Meyer for all the beautiful years of presentations that they have provided through great programming through EWTN in Alabama and through the local programming that they have provided to the hearts and minds of their listening audience. And for all that, we say thank you. And God bless you. And my friends, if you're out there and haven't made a donation once again, give us a call at 215-345-1570. Again, 215-345-1570. And make that pledge today and do it from the heart. This is Joe Montone, your host. Have a great day, and God bless, and we'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. God bless.
To the Lord.